We've been chatting about it all morning. You've heard from Shane Warne as well. He said it makes him want to vomit. All the new slogans that are coming out of Justin Langer and the Australian cricket side. We'll get the opinion of Chris Barrett from the Sydney Morning Herald. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, it didn't do him any favours, all the outing of those slogans, did it? I suppose Cricket Australia were hoping for some positive performance after giving all the drama that's been going on in the game, and the performance on the field didn't really do him any favours either, let alone the slogans.
It's hard to disagree with
yeah,
you,
well, it is hard to disagree. There must be a total lack of confidence here within the whole group, is there, Chris?
Yeah, I think you're right, Laurie. I mean, it's been a very tough year. You know, I mean, you think about all that's gone on. It's a youngish team in that respect. They've just come from the UAE, where, you know, obviously they were very good in the first test. Things didn't go as well in the second. You know, he's a new coach. I think there's a bit of uncertainty about their order. You think about just how many games they've lost lately. I mean, I think they've won something, you know, a couple in their last 19 games, you know. Like, so it's, you know, obviously winning creates confidence, doesn't it? And if you're not, it's the opposite effect. And, you know, they've got some things to sort out in the limited overs format of the game, absolutely, because, you know, the World Cup's approaching and they really don't quite know what they're doing, I suppose, with that batting order. It doesn't look like it. I mean, you can't really knock the bowlers. How are they going to defend 152? But... it's up in the top six and in seven where the drama is.
And look, even when even when Warner was there, even when Smith was there, the top six was just a house of cards. And those two held it together so often. Elite honesty was that phrase that Warney and all the slogan makes me want to vomit. I think he's got lots of supporters within the country there. I guess the fact of the matter is, where to now? For this Aussie cricket side. I mentioned some Shield results that are coming through, mate. Peter Hanscom, you know, he's got a test average of what, 43?
43.
He's 123 not out. He resumes at the MCG. Jake Lehman's been making runs. I mentioned Matthew Renshaw made 89 for Queensland. There's a few people making runs. Hanscom's a Monty for the top six for the first test.
Yeah, you'd think he's a pretty good chance. I mean, his technique let him down, didn't it? You know, and I suppose that's what, despite those good numbers, that's what saw him sort of slide out of the test side. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's multiple changes from that second test in Abu Dhabi to the first test here. I mean, you know, there's no suggestion that even that Usman Khawaja is going to be fit in time from that knee injury. So there's a few spots up for grabs, and there's a bit of horses for courses selection going on over in Dubai anyway. So. He'd be a good chance of coming in. I think Renshaw certainly at the top because if Khawaja's back, I reckon he'll bat at number three. I suppose it's the flip side, isn't it? There's opportunities for these guys to score runs and take a chance and grab a spot in the top six. But you know, I think for Australian cricket, they're probably even thinking more immediately than that. They just want to probably get all the controversy to the side and play a reasonable brand of cricket, and they've got to wait until Friday for the second the one day for that one.
Everyone wants to know why, though, Chris. Why aren't our batters getting runs? Like, are they overcomplicating things? Is it an ability thing? Is it skill?
They've got ability.
In your mind, what is it?
Well, I mean, last night it was shot selection and it was technique, I suppose, and you know, they'll. Yeah, guys lunging at sort of full balls, you know, whereas you see the South Africans obviously seem to have a bit more time, you know, and not take those chances. But, you know, some of the guys in the top six, I suppose, were under undue pressure then by the people above them. You know, when you're 3 for 8, obviously the intensity increases on what you're going to do. So, look, I think it's a multitude of reasons. I think possibly there were some batsmen in the wrong spots as well. I'm not that necessarily would have made a huge amount of difference in the wash-up, but I think they've got some work to do on organising what their best batting order is. They just really need a settling figure, don't they, at 3 or 4. I mean, I suppose they hope Sean Marsh will be that when he comes back into the one-day side, but... you know, because those collapses tend to just, you know, get a hold of itself and just keep going, don't they? And they can't seem to put the brakes on.
No, exactly right. Are we trying to outsmart ourselves at times as well? And again, you know, we didn't score the runs, but what was the reasoning behind, say, Mitchell Starc not opening the bowling?
Yeah, I was scratching my head at that one as well. I mean, not that he bowled that well, but he does have a pretty good record against Quinton de Kock, as was pointed out by several people, including Darren Lehman, last night in the commentary. So I had no answer to that. I thought he should have opened the bowling. I mean, they did have a ton of good bowlers in their lineup, so there's plenty to choose from. I think that's certainly a case, as you, Laurie, of trying to get too smart. I mean, look, Mitchell Starc is hands down the best white ball bowler in the world, so you would think you'd just, when you're defending such a small total, you'd just send him straight out there and get him stuck into it.
Rookie error. We had a few of them on Saturday and over the weekend. Rookie errors down here on tour. But anyway, hey, Chris, I think a lot of people's eyes glaze over when we start talking about boards in sport. Well, I think sometimes mine do. So, but Peaver's gone since we've chatted to you. The big question from most of our listeners and our viewers and also ourselves, why is Pat Howard still there? And I understand he's retiring or stepping down after the Ash, but why is he allowed to do that? Who does he run the show?
Well, he's got the support of, you know, rightly or wrongly, of the executive and of the board.
But how after that report?
It certainly attacked his area as well, didn't it, in the way that the Sheffield Shield has been marginalised. There was a lot of, you know, in terms of... That was one of the criticisms made about the high-performance area. Absolutely, there's merit for him to be heavily criticised.
Because with high-performance, you need to be winning. You're in charge of the winning aspect of it. Or have they gone all sort of soft on that now? Because part of the reason...
You've got to be a good bloke.
Well, no, part of the reason it got to where it did was it was a win-at-all-cost attitude.
That's right, Laurie. So, well, Pat Howard's role is actually that, but it's wider as well. I mean, he's responsible for the whole... high performance setup, throughout the country in terms of domestic cricket as well, and overseeing pathways and such, you know. So he does have a wider responsibility, men's and women's as well. And I know he's obviously done a pretty good job with the women's program. But you're right. Look, there's a ton of scrutiny on him, and all I would say is that there's no one actually just tapping him on the shoulder, because he has support from people in the right areas, rightly or wrongly. And I know there's people saying he should be next, but I'd be surprised. I mean, he's working away diligently in the background. I mean, he does things like, not to be his advocate necessarily, but he does things like plan, you know, the approach that Australia is going to take in the UAE. And I know he would have planned that out very deep in a very detailed way, and I think was pretty happy that they were able to fight out that draw in the first test over there. But I think the bloodletting will probably stop now. I mean, Kevin Roberts is the other one, the CEO, who was obviously tied up in that whole pay dispute, and then found himself promoted. So, but I think he'll probably hang on as well, and there won't be too many others going in the immediate future.
Geez, I wouldn't like to hang my hat on drawing one test match, being pumped in another one, and then losing the 3-1 day as 0-3. I wouldn't be marching into the board with that, saying, look, I planned all this. Chris, thank you so much, mate.
Whatever he's saying is doing the trip, though. They haven't...
I wish I was better at all this sort of... all these wonderful phrases that people carry.
Well, but they're between a rock and a hard place now, because... They have said that it's about winning. That's what the previous board
were all about.
I know, but they can't come out and say it's based on results now.
Oh, okay.
If you know what I mean. They can't say, well, we're getting rid of Pat because his record just hasn't stood up. We've lost a certain amount of games, because they're contradicting themselves moving forward, TK, because it's not all about winning.
That's why you're here, mate. The voice of reason. Chris, we thank you so much.
Good on you, guys. See ya.